Last Sabbath, I was at 102 degree. The boss came to work on, it was Monday, 2 weeks ago. Then we had our meeting, and six of us were sick the next day. Yeah, I had the flu. That was great. You know, if you look into the flu shot, then it's kind of dicey. Because they say that the flu shot may save you 1 year, but that immunity might not protect you the next. It might save you two, but typically on the third year, you get it five times worse. But you know, if I was an old wife, I'd just be telling you an old wives' tale. So you're just gonna have to take your own chances. Get your echinacea out, your oranges, your grapefruit, whatever you do. And I'm just grateful Dwight was willing to take last Sabbath and step up. I don't know how many times Pastor Chuck called me on Friday to preach for him Sabbath and then call me up Sabbath morning and say, it's a miracle, I'm healed. And I'm just like, all right, whatever. So thank you for praying for me. I really appreciate it. I needed it. Still do. This is an interesting text, isn't it? Ecclesiastes 9:4. You know, it's right next to that, the living know that they shall die, but the dead don't know anything. You know, it's the next verse down, verse 5. But I was reading Spurgeon, and he used this text, and what he had to say about it was really thought-provoking. So I took that text, and I took his words, and I morphed it and made it my own. So what you're going to hear is that rendition. I preached this sermon in Crescent City a couple months ago, and then again modified it. So it's similar to what I said in Crescent City, but a little bit different. But I really, really appreciated so much Spurgeon's words on this. Ellen White also has a lot to say about the subject. This sermon is about life and the value of life and how precious life is. So in this world, it seems especially important to focus once in a while on maybe how valuable life is, because it is so precious. I don't know what Solomon was thinking. I looked at all the different commentaries. I scoured the internet. I don't know what he was thinking in the palace when he said that a living dog is better than a dead lion. I'm thinking he had lions around the palace. I'm thinking the lions may have been used for guarding certain areas of his kingdom, his palace. I would imagine that taking lions out of their natural habitat and bringing them to the palace was high maintenance. So it was really hard to keep a lion in tip-top shape, ready to defend the palace and the king. And I think it goes without saying that it's so much easier to keep a dog alive. You know, they require so much less meat. So a living dog is better than a dead lion? I don't know. I thought it was a great opening line. Okay, this is three sections. I used to say three parts, but I fooled Pat Ball here a while back. I said this is a three-part sermon, and she thought I was going to do it in three Sabbaths. But really, it was really three sections. So I mean, this is a three-section sermon. Going to do them all today. And my wife can't stand it, but we'll be done before noon when I say it. She doesn't like it when I say, go on, I'm going to finish. But I really respect your time, so I'm not going to grind on for way past when I should be leaving. Okay, section one. Life is a very precious and valued thing. And I say that even in this world, we recognize that life is not valued at all by others. Not all others, but there are some on this planet that do not value life at all. But hopefully to you, hopefully to me, life is the most precious thing that we've been given and should be valued beyond all things. In its humblest form, life is superior to death. Got a couple of amens. I think when you have the flu, sometimes you wish you were dead. The fact that life is very precious and valued is a truth that is eminently certain in spiritual things. Now, how many picked up on what I just said? Because the first part of Ecclesiastes 9:4, Solomon says something. He hits you with the dead dog's better, or the dead lion is not as good as a living dog. I kind of reverse that. He hits you with that as a tagline. But what he says before that, when you think about it, is an amazing statement. And if we could put that scripture up on the screen, we'll take a hard look at it. If not, we'll do it anyway. But for to him that is joined. Now, this is a very, very, very interesting statement. For to him that is joined to, now what does he say? All the living. Why did he say it that way? Why did Solomon say, now, the wisest man in all the world, right? It's his reputation. We wonder when we read about some of the things he did, but, okay. Why did Solomon say, for to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope? Why did he say that? So then I started thinking. Spurgeon didn't hit this. He started me out on this train of thought, but he didn't hit this point. The fact that life is very precious and is superior to death is eminently powerful in spiritual things. Because what I think Solomon is trying to say here in the very first part of this verse is that if you are joined to all the living, that takes us away from this planet. And now you're thinking, huh? We're earth-centric. We think earthly. And Solomon's saying, if you're joined to the living, you're joined to all the living. What in the world? All the living. That means when John said in 1 John 1:1 that by him, Jesus, God created all the worlds, plural. That means there's more living, even though NASA hasn't found the planet yet. There's more living in the universe than us. I got to believe that. That's what Solomon's talking about. So what does it mean to be joined to the living? That's the big question. That's why I said life is precious, and it's especially important in spiritual things. That now you're alive with all the living in the entire universe, especially God himself. It is better to be the least in the kingdom of heaven than to be the greatest without the kingdom of heaven. John 11:25. In John 11:25, we find one of those occurrences. John 11, 25, Jesus says to Martha, and I'm just going to use these words, I am the resurrection and the life. And Martha's like, yeah, right? I got it. I also know that if you were here, because he's been healing everybody, right? The sick, the lame, the possessed, the dead, everybody's getting healed, and Lazarus dies. And Martha says, yeah, if you'd have been here, Lazarus still be alive, but you were gone. But Jesus says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Harkens back to what Solomon was saying. To him that is joined to all the living. And then Solomon says, there's hope. For the person that's joined to all the living, there is hope. You see the connection now? Jesus says, I am the resurrection. No problem. That's no problem. If we were standing there listening to Jesus speak, and we could hear the enunciation, and we could see his facial expressions, and we could know what he was saying, Jesus was saying, Martha, I am the resurrection. It'd be like you going in the library, and the gal says, I am the librarian. And you're like, ooh. Okay, I get it. Or, I am the head chef. Or, you name any occupation or any air of importance, and somebody says, well, I am that person. And you go, oh, okay. I'm the captain of the ship. Yes, sir, can we eat with you tonight? Oh, yeah. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. And the life. I believe, and you can call me crazy, I believe Jesus was referring to eternal life today and then eternally. You have in you right now eternal life that will either carry on without death or you'll be resurrected for eternal life. You are joined to all the living. You are connected to all the living through Jesus. He is the resurrection and the life. It's better to be least in the kingdom of heaven than to be the greatest person without the kingdom of heaven. So you see, it's better to be a living dog than a dead lion, isn't it? What's the lion? What's his title? King of the beasts. But Solomon says the lion's awesome. Lion is really awesome. But it's way better to be a living dog than a dead lion. Okay, that's section one. So we did a little contrasting, a little comparison. We talked preeminently about Jesus, who is the life. And life is precious, and he creates and he sustains. Just a side note, when you start creating, how many of you love gardening? Okay, when you get into your garden, you start planting and creating and doing all sorts of things. Who has to maintain that? Right, exactly. You love that big garden. Love the queen's gardens. Love to sit in the castle. Look at the queen's garden. If I'm the queen, it looks especially good from my window. But I'm not taking care of that if I'm the queen. I might go out and pick a flower or something, but I'm not the person working in the garden. When Jesus creates, Jesus sustains. When Jesus creates, Jesus maintains. When Jesus starts something, and Paul said it, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the one that says, that's my responsibility, and he takes care of it. Amen? So he creates life. He's eternal life. I'm saying he's eternal life right now. We may perish. Yeah, we might. But Jesus Christ is life. He's my friend. He's going to take me home eternally. Okay, now we get to do a little more contrasting. Section 2. Again, life is a precious thing, even in its humblest form. The lowest degree of God's grace in the heart is superior to the highest worldly development of the unregenerate heart. And here's the catch. And only God can judge the heart. With me? Only God can judge that heart and its veracity and its truthfulness. Only God can do that. But I can safely make the statement that the lowest degree of God's grace in the heart is superior to the highest worldly development of the unregenerate heart. The person that loves God is in better condition than anybody else on the planet. When the Holy Ghost implants divine life in the soul, a sacred process begins, which no refinement of education can equal. For example, Daniel. Daniel overshadows every wise man in the realm. The thief on the cross excels Caesar on the throne. Peter becomes a greater teacher than all the unbelieving learned men in Israel. Think about that. With the Holy Spirit and a relationship with Jesus, Peter now excels every rabbi in the land. And last but not least, the most uneducated believer is in the sight of God wiser than all worldly wisdom. John 10:10. Let's take a look at that. John 10, verse 10. Just a few statements before John 11. I chose this part about life. And what does Jesus promise about life in him? It's life eternal, but what does he say in this verse? I have come that they might have life, but that life that I'm going to give you is what? It's going to be more abundant. There's something about this life with Jesus because he is life that's more abundant than life without him. There's got to be something to Jesus that's more abundant that maybe I haven't gotten yet and I'm praying for. You see where I'm going with this? Even if in its humblest form, life with Jesus is more abundant. I can be a happier dog than a proud lion with Jesus. That's section 2. All right. Section 3. Life, okay, we're going to need 1 John 3:2 up on the screen. 1 John 3:2. Life in Christ, I've been trying to say this in so many different ways, and I'm lost to say it because people think you're crazy. But that's always going to happen on this planet, because life in Christ, life more abundant, life eternal, the status of life that Christ gives just keeps escaping me as a human being. I don't know if it escapes you, or maybe you've got it and your relationship has taken you to a place with him where your relationship with Christ is so rock solid. But let me try to say this. Life in Christ is the power of nobility in the realm of spiritual life. It's literally the power of nobility. And you can tell yourself all day long that you're royalty, that you have a relationship with the King of the universe, that Jesus Christ is your brother, that he saved you, that he's your savior, that he's your advocate, he's your all in all. But this world is so repetitive in trying to tear us down that without a relationship with Christ, the continual reminder, the continual struggle, the continual fight to remember that you are nobility is endless. The struggle seems to be endless, yet Jesus says there's going to be an end to that. Because in the moment and twinkle of an eye, we're all going to change. We're all going to change, and you're going to be given everything. In that second, you're going to be given everything that he's promised you in a bigger way. It starts now. I sense it now. I know Terry senses it now. I know my wife does. There are several of these that I've talked with. You sense it. There's a spiritual connection that we have. We know that it starts here. We know that Christ is alive. He's real. But check this out. Beloved, now we are the children of God. And right now at this moment, it doesn't yet appear what we shall be. But we know this, and it's hard to understand, but we know this, that when Jesus appears, we're going to be like him. We're going to see him the way he is. I don't know how else to describe it, because it's a spiritual. But life in Christ is the power of nobility in the realm of spiritual life. We have to accept the reality that Jesus Christ is life. He's the King of the universe, and all the rest of the universe revolves around the reality that he's life. And now that we're joined to Christ, as Solomon said, we are now joined with an entire universe of the living. Now, because last week I had a fever and I was sick, I didn't really want to come to church. Just do y'all a favor. That's, amen is right. That's exactly how this world is. We don't get to see the rest of the living universe. We don't get to see them. We don't get to visit those planets. We don't get to know who they are. We don't get to know who they look like. We are quarantined. God said, that's a sin-sick mess right there. So we're just going to keep that there till everybody makes their decision, and then we'll open the place up for traveling. Right? We get to heaven, we're going to be going the entire universe. We're going to be going everywhere. We're going to be seeing everything God's done, everything he's created. We're going to see really why he is life. We're really going to see it in a way that's going to blow our minds. And you'll never get tired of it throughout eternity. Never, ever, ever going to get tired of it. We got one more little surprise before this talk is over, just a little one. You've already understood it, and you've already thought about it, and you've already contemplated it, you've already read it. You may know exactly what I say when I say it, but there's one more little surprise that we're going to have, but we got a little bit more talking to do before we get there. A little more comparison. Okay, blank out the screen. When the moment comes, let's do John 11:25, but not yet. If you want to cheat and go there, you can, but Humanity without spiritual life are only coarser or finer examples of the same lifeless beings entirely in need of the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. You want me to repeat that? Without spiritual life means you don't have Jesus. You with me? You can have a lot of other spiritual stuff going on there, and I'm not going to put it all down because I know a lot of people that were spiritual in other disciplines, other churches, other worship systems, and the Holy Spirit got them. And they became believers in Christ. So there was something in that religious discipline that somehow the Holy Spirit twisted around and said, hey, you know, Jesus is the answer. And they go, whoa, okay. So they bring all that spiritual activity into a relationship with Christ. So it's not all bad. I'm just saying that there's the Holy Spirit's got his work cut out for him. Let's just put it that way, right? Not only in my life, but everybody's life. Humanity without spiritual life are only coarser or finer examples of the same lifeless beings entirely in need of the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, without a relationship with God, you only have life for how long? 70? Maybe a little longer, maybe a little less. But without Christ living in the life, you are not connected with all of the living. You're only alive on planet Earth. You're only alive for a little bit of time. You're only alive like as a dust in the wind. That's all you've got. But spiritual life in Christ, you're connected with all of the living. They're never going to die. They're going on throughout eternity. All of heaven, everything that God created, it's going on throughout eternity. And we're Johnny come lately here. Okay, hey, we're in the kingdom. Well, you've just started being in the kingdom. We've been here since, well, how long have we been here, honey? You know, everybody would turn to each other. Well, we've been here, well, we don't have time here. We'd tell you how long we've been here, but there's no time. So we can't tell you. But we've been here. Well, we watched your whole planet play out. That's what they're going to tell us. We watched your whole world play out. What a mess you guys had there. What a mess. What was so hard about believing in Jesus? I don't know. I am only a coarser or a finer example. I don't care how refined I am. What I mean is I could be the lowest of the low, the coarsest of all humanity, or I could be the finest example of humanity, but without Jesus, I'm nothing. I'm as good as the dead lion. Because these coarser and finer examples of humanity are dead to life by separation from God. Now notice I didn't say hopeless. And Solomon said it, and I'm playing on what he said. As long as life exists, as long as choice exists, you're not hopeless. Okay, so give me Ecclesiastes 9:4 again, because we've come full circle and I want to point this out. This is what hit me about this verse. For to him that is joined to the living, thank you, all the living, what's he say? There is hope. We are not hopeless as long as choice exists. Amen. If you have life on this planet and you can still choose, you're not hopeless. Amen. And I like Jesus about that right there. I like what he did right there and given me. And if I come to him, he will in no way cast me out. John 6:37. He promised me that and I'm hanging on to it. I'm not going to let him go on that. He said, I'm gonna hang on to you if you hang on to me, and I'm hanging on to that. Okay, we're almost ready for John 11, 25. Blank out the screen. We already read the verse, but you're going to hear it again in this context, and it's kind of spooky. A living dog is of more service to his master than a dead lion. And so, the poorest individual linked to the kingdom of life, the kingdom of the living, is infinitely better off than the greatest individual who is alive but spiritually dead. You know anybody like that? They're alive, but they're spiritually dead. Do you know anybody like that? I'm not asking you to judge them. I'm just asking if you know anybody like that. They're alive. They're breathing, they're eating, they're talking, they're alive, but they're spiritually dead. It's the saddest thing you'll ever see. It's the saddest thing you can even comprehend. This person is alive, has everything going for a person, and what a person can have going for, they got everything, and they're spiritually dead. Okay, John 11, 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were what? What happens? Yet shall he live. I want to suggest to you that that goes both ways on this planet. If you're spiritually dead, what happens when you connect with Jesus? He shall live. Well, I'm about fried. Thank you so much for who you are as a people. Thank you so much for your friendship, this body of believers. I got to keep thinking back to when Jan saw me in the hallway and said, we've made it. I'm assuming she's talking about we're over 60 now and we're still alive. Jim, thank you so much for everything you've done. I mean, I could go on this whole congregation. Thank you for your connection with Christ and your witness, because everybody in this church is witnessing each other and this community, and what we're doing is hopefully alive. There's always room for improvement, but guess what? We are who we are. We're family. We're going to get a new pastor here sooner than later. We hope we're going to get there's always somebody that's going to take a risk and come to Brookings, but I know everybody's praying for that. But I'm going to tell you something that has been near and dear to my heart. We're kind of a do-it-yourself group here in Brookings, and that's in Christ, of course, doing it ourselves in Christ. But this fellowship has never been sweeter. Jan and I were gone for a couple years. This fellowship has never been sweeter than it is at this moment. And if you can hang on to that, hang on to it. I mean, things are going to change and whatnot, but right now, this is a really great fellowship. A lot of wonderful people in this church, and I'm proud in Jesus to belong here. I really am. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. You never stop believing in us. We know we're nobility in you, and we pray that you'd empower us even more to live like it and to love each other in this community. We thank you for your great care. Never let us down. We thank you for Jesus, who never stops. In the Holy Spirit, his name, we pray. Amen.